if we're truly saved, there ought to be progress in our sanctification. We ought to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant continues his stimulating series on the Beatitudes, where, early in his public ministry, Jesus begins the so-called Sermon on the Mount by listing characteristics that describe a true disciple living in the goodness and the promises of God. This evening, Pastor Grant will focus on unpacking Beatitudes 3 through 5, and we hope you will be blessed as you join us. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of How Can I Discover and Live a Blessed Life, Part 2.
John had been walking in the desert for a long time, and he was so deeply hydrated, he desperately needed some water. A man named Joseph was riding by on a camel. So John stopped him and asked him if he had any water. And Joseph said to him, "I don't have any water, but I have a very nice selection of ties." John, of course, he was sort of upset. "I mean, I need some water, and this man is trying to sell me a tie." Well, Joseph went riding on. John continued trudging through the desert. And until he finally came to a cafe, and he went into the cafe. He went up to the cafe and asked the doorman if he could go in. And guess what the doorman said to him? "I can't let you in unless you have on a tie. Nobody can get into our cafe without a tie." As it turned out, Joseph was actually trying to help John because he knew John would really need a tie. You say, so what does that have to do with us today? Sometimes when we hear God's word, it doesn't seem to apply to us. You know, sometimes we listen to a message for the first 5 minutes and then we turn it off, not recognizing that God is speaking to us. And I just want everybody, young and old, to recognize that God is speaking to us. Every time you come, God is speaking to us, to you and to me, because the word you're about to hear is something that God wants you to know as he prepares you for tomorrow. Amen? Amen? That's a weak amen. Amen?
Amen?
So don't turn your radio off. Make sure you focus on what God has to say. As I share today, part 2 of a message on the Beatitudes entitled, How Can I Discover and Live a Blessed Life? The Sermon on the Mount, which begins with the 8 Beatitudes, includes some of the most important lessons Jesus taught. This is what most Bible scholars will tell you. Some of the most important lessons Jesus taught are in the Sermon on the Mount, which begins with the Beatitudes. These lessons in the Beatitudes are so impactful, Dr. Martin Luther King often said that the Beatitudes were the motivating force behind the civil rights movement. You may or may not even know that, how significant the Beatitudes are to the civil rights movement. Dr. King said these were the Beatitudes were the motivating force behind the civil rights movement. And Mahatma Gandhi, the man who led India to independence and is revered as the father of modern day India, regarded the Sermon on the Mount as one of the greatest writings of all time. And as I read and I studied about this, it is said that Gandhi every morning and every evening would read from the Sermon on the Mount for 40 years. Gandhi was a practicing Hindu who was so impressed with the teachings of Jesus, he once visited a Christian church in Calcutta, India. he was stopped by the door, at the door by the ushers, who told him he was not welcome, for the church was for high caste Indians and white people only, and that he was neither. So in case you think race issues were only here in America, you better think again. Amen? So Gandhi was not allowed to enter the church. Gandhi later said, I'd be a Christian if it were not for the Christians. Isn't that something? I'd be a Christian if it were not for the Christians. Sadly, racial division still plagues the church. For 10 a.m. on Sunday is still the most divided hour in America. But if we as Christians, and I know this message is being aired on the radio, so I'm challenging not only those listening here, but those who may listen on radio, if we are serious, those of us who are believers in Jesus, if we are serious about living a blessed life, we must commit to becoming more like Jesus. Amen? And part of being more like Jesus is that we demonstrate to the world that every born-again Christian is one in Christ. We are all one in Christ. Jesus came to die for the entire world. Amen? And once he has saved us, he unites us into the one body of Christ. And it's time and enough for us to stop this nonsense of the white church and the black church and the yellow church. And in case you are wondering, is Jesus a black church? No, we are not a black church. Thank God we are made up of people born in 20-something different countries and from four continents on this planet. Amen. And we intend to keep reaching all people, whoever is willing to come. We can't force folks to come. Not everybody wants to hang around with us. But I just want everybody who is under the sound of my voice to know you are welcome right here at GCA. Amen. Because this is God's church. Amen. Gandhi was impressed with the Sermon on the Mount. So what is the Sermon on the Mount? Add this to your notes, those of you who are taking notes, and I encourage you to take notes, because when you go home, you can read them over. What is the Sermon on the Mount? Write this. The Sermon on the Mount includes some of the most important lessons Jesus taught. It begins with the 8 Beatitudes in Matthew 5 and continues to the end of Matthew 7. In the sermon, the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, appears 9 of the 32 times it appears in the entire Bible. In just those 2 or 3 chapters, the kingdom of heaven appears more than a quarter of the entire time, number of times it appears in the entire Bible. This Sermon on the Mount is clearly something very significant. And so in case you're wondering, are we really just going to stop with the Beatitudes? No, we are not stopping at the end of the Beatitudes. We're going to cover the entire Sermon on the Mount after we finish with the Beatitudes. Amen? Last time, as we kicked off the mini-series on the Beatitudes, we covered the first 3 of the Beatitudes. And you can write this down for those of you who are taking notes, and if you missed it, Beatitude number 1, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those willing to acknowledge their spiritual bankruptcy, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The second beatitude, beatitude number 2, blessed are those who mourn. And we remember we pointed out those truly grieved about their sin. Blessed are those who are truly grieved about their sin, for they shall be comforted by God. And then the third beatitude we covered, blessed are the meek. That's those who have placed their power and strength under God's control, for they shall inherit the earth. And if you are not here, I encourage you to visit the YouTube channel so you can make sure you're fully caught up. But today we want to just do 2 Beatitudes, the 4th and the 5th Beatitude here in Matthew's Gospel chapter 5. And here's the 4th Beatitude in Matthew 5 verse 6. It reads as follows. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Blessed are those, say it with me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. To live the blessed life, we must eat right. For many Christians are spiritually malnourished, not because they don't eat, but because they're not on the right spiritual diet. And so God encourages us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. God desires that we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? So what is righteousness? Add this to your notes. Righteousness is the quality of being right in the eyes of God in our character, our conduct, our conscience, and in every other way. Right in the eyes of God. Oh God, might we search our hearts before the Lord. Am I right in the eyes of God in my character, in my conduct, in my conscience, and in every other way? You see, righteousness, right, is easy to define, but it's impossible to be righteous without God's help. Am I right about it? Romans chapter 3, verse 10 tells us there is none righteous, no, not even one. So if you're wearing a halo, get rid of it. If you think you're all that, I'm a super Christian, get rid of it. Because the Bible doesn't say there is none righteous, no, not even one. But there's hope for all of us, amen? For regardless of how messed up we may be, through the sanctifying work of Christ, he's able to transform the vilest sinner and make them holy and righteous. So what an incredible message we have. I'm so thankful to be a preacher of the gospel, because through the sanctifying work of God, he can transfer the vilest sinner and make them holy and righteous. I'd write this down. Sanctification is the process by which God makes a sinner completely holy in his sight. Sanctification is the process by which God makes a sinner completely holy in his sight. My young friend, my older friend, no matter what you have done, no matter what we have done in our lives, come on now. Some of us have done some stuff. We'd be ashamed if the person beside us knew what we have done. But hallelujah, the one who knows what we did is the one who is willing to sanctify us and transform us and make us holy. Yes, that's something to shout about. Amen. Sanctification is a process by which God makes a sinner completely holy in his sight. There are two aspects to sanctification. The first one is positional sanctification. And I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The first one, positional sanctification. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? He's a new creation. Hallelujah. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Aren't you glad about that? If anyone is in Christ, they're brand new. All things have passed away. And Lord, listen. It doesn't mean that there's a switch and everything changes overnight. But yes, you may not recognize it, but a transformation has taken place because the Spirit of God comes to live in you. The moment I say yes to Jesus, God comes to live in me. The Spirit of God is in me. And because God is in me, everything has become new. And as I submit to the work of the Spirit of God, little by little, every day, he will change me. Am I right about it? As I submit to the Spirit of God, we will change. Amen. We will change. And that's why the minute I become a Christian, everything becomes new, because Christ lives in me. Now, verse number 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, perhaps you're listening here today, or you're listening through the media. I just want you to know that no matter what you have done, God says we can become the righteousness of God because of what Jesus has done. And as we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts and life, we might become the righteousness of God. When we repent of our sin and receive Jesus as our Savior, write this down. We are positionally sanctified because God credits the righteousness of Christ to our account. At the moment of salvation, even though our behavior may not have changed, we are credited with the righteousness of Christ. And as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, God expects that every day we'll become more like Jesus. As the song says, little by little, every day, Jesus is changing me. And come on now. If we are truly saved, are you still with me? If you're not asleep, say amen. Amen. If we're truly saved, we ought to show progress. Am I right about that? If we're truly saved, there ought to be progress in our sanctification. We ought to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Too many Christians are saved, sanctified, and seated. They have not grown. We're caught up with everything else, but there's little change going on. And by the transforming work of the Spirit of God, there ought to be change in your life. May God help us that we might desire to progress. Okay, amen. So first, there is positional sanctification. Here's the second thing. Progressive or experiential sanctification. At salvation, we became new babies in Christ. But that was just the beginning of our journey of faith. For God expects us to grow. And so this morning, the Spirit of God is asking me, as he's asking all of us, are you growing? Are you progressing? You know, some of us progress for a while. Do you know it's possible to have been progressing? Some of us who have been saved a while. Do you know some Christians, they've been saved for a while and they were progressing, and they figure they've got to a point. I'm so far ahead of everybody else. Do you think that happens sometimes? I'm so far ahead, I don't need to progress. I can sit on the bench for a while. The devil loves it. Can I give you a secret? If you're not moving forward, you are not standing still as you think. If you're not moving forward, you are little by little moving backward. Little by little every day, I'm going backward. You're getting colder. You're getting more comfortable doing nothing. And may God challenge us. There are some who are born again, but we just do it our way. I come when I feel like. I get involved if I feel like. It's everything is about what I feel like. But who changed us? Who do I belong to? The moment I say yes to Jesus, I am a child of the King, am I not? I take orders from the King. And it's time we stop saying so much about our thing and what we are into and start submitting and saying, God, I belong to you. Here's my life. Take it and make it what you want it to be. And my friend, when we do that, we're going to start finding out that we're really getting where God wants us to be. Amen? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus said, to live the blessed life, we must hunger. Come on now. Hunger what? And thirst for righteousness. If someone was dying of hunger, how much interest do you think they'd have in getting food? Well, what are we, you're quiet. Help, talk back to the preacher. Brother Darrett says a Baptist church today. Talk back to the preacher. If you were dying of hunger, how much interest would you have in getting food? A lot. That's would be your primary focus. Thank you, my brother. Your primary focus would be food. Not what's happening in the news. Not what's happening in the political world. Am I right about it? If you are starving to death, your food must be on your mind. So Jesus says, is that how you feel about the things of God? You feel like a hungry person. So he says, hunger and thirst. You see, he's describing the picture he's giving us is a picture of somebody dying of hunger, and he's giving us the picture of somebody thirsted to death, dehydrated. The man in the desert, he feels he cannot make another step. Is that how you feel about your spiritual life? Do you feel desperate for the things of God? Or are we callous? I'll do it when I feel like it. You see, there's a lot more in these Beatitudes. We read them very quickly, but we're missing what God is saying. This is why Jesus starts off with the Beatitudes, because he's challenging us to a total different type of life. It's not a superficial Christian life. He says, do we hunger? Listen, the person he's talking about, he says, we must hunger and thirst for righteousness. Progressive sanctification will produce in us a constant hunger and thirst for righteousness. Amen. A constant hunger and thirst for righteousness, where we never get to the point where we feel we have arrived. My God, help me as a preacher this morning that I might never get to the point where I think I have arrived and I can sit down and take it easy because I have arrived. No, we will never arrive. There has got to be a constant hunger and a constant thirst for righteousness, a desire to grow in the things of God, a desire to be more and more like Jesus.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.